Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. At this time, we would like to welcome everyone to the conference call for Wilson Sons Limited third quarter and first 9 months of 2011 results. Today with us, we have Mr. Felipe Guterres, CFO of the Brazilian subsidiary and investor relations, and Mr. Arnaldo Calbucci, Vice President of Towage Offshore Shipyard and Shipping Agency. We would like to inform you that all participants will be in a listen-only mode during the company's presentation. After remarks by the company's management, there will be a question-and-answer session for industry analysts. At the time, further instructions will be given. Should any participant need assistance during this call, please press star zero to reach an operator. Today's live webcast, including both audio and slideshows, may be accessed online through the Wilson Sons Investor Relations website at www.wilsonsons.com.br/IR. Before proceeding, let me mention that forward-looking statements are based on beliefs and assumptions of the Wilson Sons management and all information currently available to the company. They involve risks and uncertainties because they relate to the future events and therefore depend on circumstances that may or may not occur. Investors should understand that conditions related to the macroeconomic environment, industry, or other factors could also cause results to differ materially from those expressed in such forward-looking statements. Now, I will turn the conference over to the CFO of the Brazilian subsidiary, Mr. Felipe Guterres, who will begin the presentation. Mr. Guterres, you may now begin your comments, sir.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone. Thank you for being with us today. I'm here with Arnaldo Calbucci to comment on Wilson Sons results for the third quarter and first 9 months of 2011. If you can please turn over to slide number 3 of our conference call presentation for a brief summary of our consolidated results. On slide 3, I would like to highlight that we are happy to deliver one more time strong revenues and EBITDA year over year. Volumes increased in pretty much all of our businesses in the period as demand from our customers remained high. The Brazilian real on average continued strong for most of the period, which pushed imports and as a result of that, warehousing that improved results of our container terminals and logistics. Brasco also continues to take advantage of the growth in the oil and gas industry in Brazil. However, the global financial turbulence of late the third Q 2011 caused a significant FX variation, depreciating the Brazilian real by 20% against the US dollar in a short period of time, with the real at 156 at the end of second Q versus 185 at the end of third Q. This large FX movement produced a negative impact on the value of the company's assets in U.S. dollars denominated in reais, including cash and cash equivalents. It also impacted deferred income taxes as determined by IFRS. As a result, we had a net loss of $6 million for the quarter, and we will talk about this in more details ahead in this presentation. The outlook for our main growth drivers continues to look healthy, as you can see on the bottom right of slide 3. Going to slide 4, here we present the highlights for the first 9 months of 2011. Container terminal revenues are 23% and EBITDA 34% up on the comparison due to better pricing and good warehousing of imported cargo. Total volumes are stable, but with two-digit growth in deep sea and cabotage. At Brasco, the good results were possibly impacted by the oil and gas environment in Brazil and the operation at the public port of Rio de Janeiro for Petrobras. This contract that began in 2010 ended last month. For our logistics business, revenues are up 57%. EBITDA is up an impressive 192% due to our abundant warehouse operation, EAG Santo André in São Paulo State, that experienced high import volumes and dedicated operations which either began or intensified in the period. So with revenues increased 6% year-to-date, impacted by a higher number of harbor maneuvers, better pricing, and heavier vessels with bigger deadweight surge. In offshore, revenues are up 18%, even when compared to a year in which the first 5 months included results for 100% of the offshore business. After the joint venture was formalized at the end of the second quarter of 2010, the company now reports its 50% participation. EBITDA is down also due to the above-mentioned JV effect and the fact that all 12 PSPs are now in long-term contracts with Petrobras, which carry lower daily rates. The shipyard business saw its revenues increasing 25% and EBITDA over 100% as a result of a greater number of vessels being built to third parties. After the formation of the JV, 50% of our shipyard construction now is considered third party. And obviously we post profit on that kind of construction. The shipping agency business grew volumes overall and saw its revenues and EBITDA increased. Now, if you can please turn to slide 5, we can see the reconciliation of net income for 3Q and 9 months 2011. A significant foreign exchange variation in 3Q depreciated the Brazilian real by almost 20% against the U.S. dollar in a short period of time. The closing exchange rate went from 156 at 2Q to 185 at 3Q. Under IFRS rules, specifically IAS 21, balance sheet items are translated by distinguishing monetary items from non-monetary items. Non-monetary items must be translated at the FX rate as of the date of the transaction, or historical FX rate, if you like, while monetary items are translated at the FX rate as of the closing date for a certain period. This difference in FX rates generates gain and losses, which is an accounting fact. The difference between gain and loss for the quarter and the third quarter of last year was $24.5 million. Now, according to IAS 12, the difference between the historical and current FX rates on fixed assets generate gains or losses that affect deferred income taxes. In the event the FX rate at the closing period is higher than the historical rate, one would account for an increasing deferred income taxes, which would have an adverse effect on a company's net income line. The difference between this quarter deferred income taxes and third quarter 2010 is $19.4 million, creating a loss of $6.1 million in the period. For the nine-month period, we first need to exclude the $20.4 million capital gain on the JV transaction, which is a non-recurring entry related to the formation of the offshore JV that occurred last year. And then we have, again, very large increases in gain and losses in deferred income tax because of the fact that I've already mentioned. This effect, coupled with a higher depreciation amortization costs in current income tax, resulting in a lower net income of $27.3 million for 9 months, 2011. Moving now to the next slide number 6. The company invested $87 million in the quarter and over $191 million for the nine-month period. The company's capital expenditure was mainly invested in civil works for the expansion of the Cone Salvador, equipment for both container terminals, acquisition of land by Brasco to be used as a retro area in San Gonzalo, Rio de Janeiro, offshore and towage street renewal, and expansion and civil works for the Guarujá 2 shipyard construction. Going to the next chart number 7, you can see some pictures of the Cone Salvador. These are updated pictures from the ongoing expansion of the Cone Salvador. The new equipment that we purchased already departed China and should reach the terminal by the end of this year. Berth reinforcement, retro area paving, and dredging are all a work in progress, and the expansion is scheduled to be finalized the first half of 2012. Going to slide number 8, you can see that the civil works at the Guarujá 2 site is in full swing and we expect the site to be fully operational by the end of the second quarter of 2012. Going to slide number 9. On this slide, we have a summary of the company's cash and debt position. The majority of the company's debt, 79%, is provided by BNDES and Banco do Brasil as agents for the Fundo de Maria Mercante. Additionally, 88% of our debt is denominated in U.S. dollars, and 91% of it is long-term. Our net debt was $290 million at the quarter end, which is equivalent to 1.9 times EBITDA, considering the last 12 months EBITDA. As you can see here, on the upper right corner of the slide, our debt maturity schedule is very favorable, providing us with great certainty for the execution of our investment plan. At this time, I would like to invite you to move to the Q&A portion of today's conference call.
Thank you. Now, we will open the floor for the question and answer session. If you don't have a question or comment, please press star 1. Remembering, if you don't have a question or comment, please press star 1. Mr. Mike Lubrano from Kartika Capital would like to make a question. Mr. Kevin Lepwood from Seymour Price would like to make a question.
Cesar, Felipe, good morning to you.
Good morning.
Morning. Can I first of all just ask? Obviously, it's good news that Garija extension is now back on track. Can you give us any indication of when you would expect the extension at Garija to be completed? And could you perhaps give us an update on the shipyard at Rio Grande?
Yeah, absolutely. With regards to Guarujá 2 in São Paulo State, we think that we will have this shipyard operational by the end of second quarter 2012. With regards to Rio Grande, Arnaldo, that is with me, would like to make a comment on that.
Kevin, Arnaldo.
Hello, sir.
In Rio Grande, we still are having some bureaucratic problems to be solved, although we have just received the environmental license. We are still waiting for concession from the federal government to use the area just in front of the channel.
Yeah.
And also some details regarding the priority of the Marine Merchant Fund. We expect to have these both bureaucratic problems solved by March next year. But it's quite difficult to give you a correct date. Because it's a bureaucratic problem, it depends of a lot of areas of the government, and our schedule is for the end of March 2012.
Thank you very much.
Kevin, just to highlight that it's not completely under our control, and besides that, Rio Grande does not impact negatively our plan of building new vessels for the offshore JV, because Guarujá 2 in São Paulo will be enough for the growth speed that we are planning.
Thank you very much.
Welcome.
Remembering, if you don't have a question or comment, please press star 1. If you do have a question or comment, please press star 1. We have a question from the webcast. Why has Tawaj Special Operations decreased?
Uh,
the nature of these operations is that they mostly occur irregularly, and therefore it's natural that for this type of service, there are quarters that they grow more or less than others. Certainly, the long-term trend is directly linked to the number of ships, FPSOs, and oil platforms that operate or are built in Brazil. For all this type of vessels, the growth is very positive, and we are confident in the continued growth of this part of the towage business.
Remembering, if you do have a question or comment, please press star 1. Remembering, if you do have a question or comment, please press star 1. At this time, we end the question and answer section. I would like to turn the floor back over to Mr. Guterres for any closing remarks.
Thank you. I would like to say that the Wilson Sons management team is absolutely aware of the uncertainties in the global financial markets and reinforce that the company's operational performance has been in line with our expectations and our main growth drivers in Brazil remain strong. And thank all of our stakeholders and employees for the trust they have in the Wilson Sons management team. Thank you.
Wilson Sons Limited's conference call is finished. Have a nice day.